Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I'm Barbara Little here with Bishop Michael Mulvey on this 22nd Sunday of Ordinary Time and the last Sunday in August. Today we'll be listening to the Gospel of Luke and talking about humility. Stay with us and we'll be right back.
It's known as the Red Mass, and it's celebrated throughout the United States. The supreme lawgiver, God, is called upon for his blessings on the administration of justice for those whose duty it is to teach, judge, and resolve legal matters. It also promotes the unity of the judiciary and the legal profession. The tradition of the Red Mass dates to 13th century England, where it was celebrated at Westminster Abbey and served as the official opening of the judicial year. The Mass is so named because the celebrants wore red vestments, symbolizing the invocation of the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Red Mass in the Diocese of Corpus Christi will be celebrated Thursday, September 15th at 6 p.m. in Corpus Christi Cathedral, with Bishop Michael Mulvey presiding. Keynote speaker will be Judge of the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals, the Honorable Kevin Patrick Yeary. Everyone is welcome. To obtain more information, please call the Chancery Office at 882-6191.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop. How are you this morning?
Very good, Barbara. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good.
It's hard to believe that the summer just flew by.
That's correct. Everybody's back in school, and so we're off to a good start.
Everybody's back to their regular routines.
That's right. We had a beautiful Mass this past week in the cathedral with all the representatives from all the schools, Catholic schools throughout the diocese. So great enthusiasm there.
And
I hope that's true across the diocese with all the schools. So,
right. So how exciting that was.
It was very, very exciting.
Yeah, that's great. Well, on this 22nd Sunday of Ordinary Time, let's prepare our hearts and minds to hear the gospel this morning. And our gospel today is from Luke.
Right. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On a Sabbath, Jesus went to dine at the home of one of the leading Pharisees, and the people there were observing him carefully. He told a parable to those who had been invited, noticing how they were choosing the places of honor at the table. When you're invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not recline at table in the place of honor. A more distinguished guest than you may have been invited by him, and the host who invited both of you may approach you and say, "Give your place to this man." And then you would proceed with embarrassment to take the lowest place. Rather, when you are invited, go and take the lowest place, so that when the host comes to you, he may say, "My friend, move up to a higher position." Then you will enjoy the esteem of your companions at the table. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Then he said to the host who invited him, "When you hold a lunch or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your wealthy neighbors, in case they may invite you back and you have repayment. Rather, when you hold a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Blessed indeed will you be because of their inability to repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this was a very interesting gospel, and the fact that I thought that Luke gave us a little bit of a challenging story in about the Sabbath meal.
Right. Jesus, of course, is at, it's always good to set the scene of where Jesus was, and he's at the home of leading Pharisees and people who had been invited by them, kind of the upper elite, I guess you might say, in the religious world of Jesus at the time. And he was obviously invited there as many times. It doesn't so much say it here, but sometimes they were trying to trap him or trying to see exactly how he would respond to certain situations. And, you know, I think, and I may say this over and over, and I apologize for my repetition or my repetitiveness, but, you know, it's something. It's Jesus is not just teaching us good manners here. He's not just teaching us to be socially affable with one another. But every time Jesus tells us a parable such as this, he's teaching us something about ourselves as a human being and as a follower, as a disciple of his, of being a good Christian. But he really goes to the heart of human life here, and so he's teaching us about humility and the importance and the really fundamental basic attitude that has to be in all of our lives. And so he's really going to the core, again, of our being, of our existence.
And you had mentioned kind of in the very beginning that the Pharisees might have wanted to trick him or trap him, but when I was researching this a little bit, the lector's book said that he really wanted to instruct and mm-hmm. guide the Pharisees and hope for their salvation too.
Exactly. Sure. I mean, Jesus would never, or he wouldn't be God.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
If he was trying to trick people to trip them up. But he was always teaching them as he's teaching us because, you know, let's face it, there's a little bit of Pharisee in all of us. There's a little bit of pride or arrogance in all of us. I mean, these are things that are part of our nature, our fallen nature from original sin. So we always have to look at what he was saying to them historically and in the place, but also what is he saying to us today in our dealing with one another, dealing with God. And so he takes us to this very fundamental of all virtues, which is the virtue of humility. It takes us to the very core there. So if we looked at it a little bit, I mean, what he is saying to us, and I think what we can all examine ourselves on, is how we approach relationships with others. And let's face it, we've all been to parties. We've all been in groups. And we all want to be noticed. I mean, there's something about that where we all want to be noticed. Or maybe we all think we have the best idea or the best solution to everything, or somebody may have the greatest program, you know, for the mm-hmm. parish or the family. And we always want to push ourselves first, you know, to put ourselves out there. So it's not just sitting at the table, but it's also perhaps with our own wills. We want to push ourselves in there as first. And Jesus is saying to us that that we need that sense of humility, that maybe if God really wants to use our talents or really wants to use our ideas, he'll bring them forth. I think many times we live in a fear that if I don't get my idea out on the table first, that nobody's going to recognize it. But I don't think that's true. I think there's if the Lord really wants to use it, he will use another person to say, come higher, or what do you think? And so we need to have that sense of humility so that what we present is really God's will and not our own.
So I think of the phrase, the early bird catches the worm.
Right.
You know, about somebody always wanting to be up front and the first to do everything. And
right.
And he's saying, well, if you use that context, that's not always necessarily the case.
Right.
But we have to be, though, genuine in
sure.
our humility.
Exactly. Sure, sure. And, you know, I think a lot of this is, in many ways, is this kind of countercultural for us. We're taught to be aggressive. We're taught to be, you know, the first and to be the winners. And I was just with a group the other day, and we were laughing about somebody, you know, be aggressive. And that's kind of the way our society is. That's what we're taught, to be the first, to be the best, to be aggressive. And certainly we want to do our best.
Right.
But to be aggressive in the sense that that everybody has to notice, there could be more of us in it than what God wants of us. in a solution. I'm speaking very vaguely here, I realize, but I think all of us can apply it to ourselves in some way. I always remember when I think of this this gospel of an experience I had many years ago. I was in a meeting, and I was kind of key to the meeting with information. I had a lot of information on this certain situation, but I thought, you know, I want to let everyone else speak first. And the person that was leading the meeting said to me prior to the meeting, "Now you have to be the one to give the information you have, because you could turn this meeting upside down," you know. So it was regarding a situation of some personalities, and I knew the person that they were talking about very well. And so as the meeting proceeded, I was just listening, and I listened very intently and very openly and lovingly to each person, although I disagreed with some of them. But I thought, you know, we have to listen to one another. And so at the end, there was arguing back and forth across the table, and, you know, this person shouldn't be a part of our organization, this person should and shouldn't, and all these different voices. And the head of the meeting kept looking at me like, "Speak, speak." You know? And I thought, no, I want to hear everybody first. So at the end, as everybody was leaving, I was really asking for the gift of the Holy Spirit to say the right thing, you know, not to hurt anybody. And as everybody was basically on their feet ready to leave, it dawned on me what to say. And I said, "I have something to say." And they all sat back down. And I simply said, "Look at us. Look how divided we are. Look at us, the way we're arguing with one another. This is the fruit of this person in our organization. If we have this person a part of this, this is what happens, because I've experienced it. I've experienced the same kind of, you might say, dysfunctional way of going, a way of proceeding." And they all kind of looked at me, and I said, "If this is what you want, then bring the person back on, but I have to leave because I can't be a part of this." And the person was not brought back. But, and I don't say that against anybody as a person. But I think it's a way that we don't need to be the first to speak. We don't need to be the aggressive one to get our point. We need to listen to each other. And then with wisdom, which comes from humility, I think we need to have that sense of humility in all of our encounters, that in that humility, which is that putting ourselves second to our brothers and sisters, really. I mean, Jesus saying taking the lower seat. It's putting yourself second to the others. Listen to them first. And then the Lord will give you the wisdom to do or to say what you need to say or do. And it will have the effect that he wants, not what I want. If I had gone in there, I'd say, "I don't want this person, you know, part of the organization," blah, blah, blah. But it was the same result, but it was done in a much more, I think, efficacious way than just me imposing myself. So.
Well, and of course, we're all human. So did you find yourself in that situation wanting to step in?
Several times.
Which happens to a lot of us.
Sure, several times. But I kept saying, no, we'll speak when it's time to speak. But I think that's, you know, fundamental to our lives, especially, you know, parents dealing with children. We tend to, as a parent or as a superior or as a person in charge, to tell everybody the answer first. And if we listened first, not that we agree, but we first listen. And that's, I think, that humility to let the other one speak first, then we can speak the truth and with wisdom and probably get the same results done.
Thank you for sharing that story with us, Bishop. We are going to take a short break, and we will be right back.
Sacred Heart Catholic Church in Mathis, Knights of Columbus Council 11663, and Assembly 1123 invite all public safety employees, including law enforcement and correctional officers, firefighters, EMS personnel, and emergency dispatchers, along with their families and friends, to their 15th annual Blue Mass, with Bishop Michael Mulvey presiding. followed by an awards presentation and a delicious dinner prepared by the Mathis Volunteer Fire Department. Saturday, September 17, 6 p.m. at the church, 217 West San Patricio in Mathis. The term blue mass refers to the color of the uniforms worn by many of these professions. The mass, which dates to 1934, recognizes the sacrifices of public safety servants and remembers those who gave their lives in service to their community. The blue mass honors St. Michael the Archangel, patron saint of those employed in the public safety field. For more details, call Sacred Heart Church, 361-547-9181.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, before the break, Bishop, we were talking about humility. And the very end of this gospel that you read, there's the phrase that it says, he says, when you hold a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, because they will have an inability to repay you, but you'll be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. When I read that passage, I started to think about our corporal works of mercy.
Good, sure. Sure.
And we've talked about those several weeks ago, but why don't we kind of refresh our memory again about the corporal works of mercy?
Right. Well, you know, there's probably many thinking, well, how can I learn humility? Well, you can read about it all you want, but I think there's really only one way to learn humility, and that's service.
To do it.
To do it. As Jesus said, the greatest commandment is to love God with your mind, whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus himself showed that sign of humility as he took off his outer garment at the Last Supper and washed his disciples' feet. Again, that's not just a symbolic moment, but it was him showing the disciples, showing us, the way to humility. And that is service of our brothers and sisters. And so the corporal works of mercy, which are to feed the hungry, to give drink to the thirsty, to clothe the naked, shelter the homeless, visit the sick, visit the imprisoned and buried the dead. If you look at those activities, you might say, of service, none of those really immediately can give back to us. You know, we are there, we are, you know, in the approach to give to them. And so in that sense, we are putting them first. We are giving them the first place in our life through our service. I believe it was St. Vincent de Paul who said that the poor must be your masters. You know, we don't think in those terms, you know,
that's
like
true.
I'm doing something for the poor.
That's right.
But Jesus's attitude here is if that's your attitude, look what I'm doing for the poor, you've already reversed the whole process here. There's no humility in there. That's pride.
Exactly.
Or, you know, look what our organization has done for these people. And so we plaster it on the billboard of look what I did. Well, that's not what he's speaking about here. He's speaking about loving others, serving others, not looking for a return. And so these special groups of people that he mentions in the Gospel of Luke today and that we find in the corporal works of mercy are really those categories that we can serve and not receive back. And it's in that constant giving of ourselves that we learn that humility. We learn humility the way he wants us to learn. Then there's the other love, which we've spoken about before, a communal love where I love and I have to be loved. So there's that on the other side. But really very basic to our human existence as a person and especially our graced existence as a Christian of God, of Christ, then this kind of service creates that humbled heart, you know, that we're called to have. So the more that we serve with that sense of I cannot receive back from these people, we rejoice over that because what the Lord is doing is carving out a true sense of humility in us. And that over time, sometimes it's hard. It's not easy for some people to go and help the homeless or to visit the sick or go into a prison. But if we do it, if we try it more and more, we really find out that we receive, even though the person themselves may not be able to give back, But somehow in the secret plan of God, we're receiving a sense of joy and grace in our lives.
So we do it with a humble heart instead of looking at what returns it may give us, you know,
right.
Not thinking it's going to give us some additional stars in our crown.
Right. And, you know, I certainly to all the college-bound high school young men and women out there, I certainly don't mean anything by this, but I think we find today so often we go look for things to put on our resume because it looks good. And even in a Christian sense, we want on our resume, well, I go to the prison, or I go help the homeless, or I go help the, and we should do those things. But in order to put them on our resume, that's not what Jesus is talking about here. And certainly we don't learn humility in those in that way.
That's right. That's true. Well, then what did Jesus mean, or how did the corporal works of mercy come into play when he said in this passage, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted"?
Right. Well, of course, you know, one of the, one of the unfortunate things, I think, as Christians is that we forget that, going back to a very fundamental, basic approach to Christianity, is that Jesus was both God and man. And so when we look at these terms, humble and to be exalted, many times when people say, well, we'll be exalted, well, that'll be at the end of our life. And yes, that is true.
That's what I was thinking.
There's that divine side that, yes, we will be exalted. But there are other ways to be exalted as well. It's not just a final exaltation. It's even now. And kind of goes back to what I was speaking of earlier about serving people and not expecting, but even in the non-expecting, we can be exalted. We can receive kind of a surprise gift that we don't even know. And sometimes that's a true sense of peace, of joy. And we didn't go look for it. We weren't there to put it on our resume, but the Lord just fills our heart with a sense of calm and peace and joy. If I can again just refer to an experience that I've had, but I think that's always, you have to,
sure.
The Pope oftentimes speaks of Christianity that we need to have experiences of it. You know, we need
that's
to be
right.
able to share experiences. But when I was in the seminary in Italy, we had to have an apostolate. And for some reason, I don't know how I got into this, but I would visit the prison that was down the street from the seminary. And visit the English-speaking. And it was always very difficult for me. I'm rather shy, I guess, by nature, but to go in to the prison. But just after, you know, I think I always had that sense it was go visit Jesus, you know, whatever you do, the least you've done to me. And so I tried to have that sense right. and that spirit going in. But I can always say that as I would go in, there would be a sense of calm and peace that would come over me. Mainly because you're not thinking of yourself. You're thinking of the people that are in there that you're visiting. And, you know, it was Saturday afternoon. Every Saturday afternoon I would do that. And would always come out at the end just kind of like you're filled with
right.
something that you didn't have when you went in.
Right.
And I think that's that exaltation now. That what are we exalted with but the gifts of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, which we've spoken of before in relationship to confirmation. But we again experience those fruits of love and joy and peace, magnanimity, you know, that largeness of heart. We
right.
kind of expand in our embrace of people. That's exaltation, and it's an exaltation which says to us that this is who you are, you know, not the false self. The false right. self is the one that's aggressive, the one that has to be first.
The winner.
The winner, always on the front lines, front seat, you know, I've got to be first. That is not our true self. Our true self is that humility, learning that humility through service, so that the Lord exalts us with his gifts, which are the gifts that are found in Jesus Christ, who's given us his Spirit, the Spirit of peace and joy, those fruits of the Spirit that if you'd like to go back and read in the fifth chapter of Galatians, you'll find them there, where Jesus St. Paul explains the fruits of the Spirit. And those, I think, in a sense, are an exaltation of the human person. And it's our true self.
Did you find that when you went to the prison the first time that you were a little afraid?
Oh, very afraid, sure.
Yeah.
In fact, anyone who would know Italy, I found myself one day sitting at the table with a bunch of mafia people, which I had no idea who they were until I left.
That was probably better.
It was very much. I had my suspicions, but when I left, they told me with whom I was sitting, and I was a little bit shaken by that, but I told the person, next time you come see me, I'm not going to go up there. So they were playing cards, and I didn't join in playing the game, but I joined around the table. So
listen to the conversation.
Yes, there's always a little, you know, you got to look for the humorous side of everything too. So
that's right. So you started out with a little bit of fear doing this, but then came out with peace and calm.
Right. Well, and I think, you know, this is something else. If you see in the first letter of St. John, he says, perfect love drives out all fear. So when we are afraid in approaching our neighbor, and again, referring back to these corporal works of mercy, again, you know, just something inside of us, some of us have that tendency, there's no problem, but others are maybe afraid or anxious about doing something. But when we're anxious or afraid, it means there's a lack of love in us, which means a lack of service. And so crossing that barrier and serving our brothers and sisters, it's not we who exalt ourselves, but it's the Lord who, through the gifts of His Spirit, exalts us.
All right. So if we have fear, then that's kind of a lack of love and a lack of trust in God.
Right. Right, and lack of service. I always go back to service. I mean, the service means rolling up your sleeves and serving, and that can be at home. I mean,
helping out,
or, you know, if you find yourself angry every night because you have to cook dinner or wash the dishes, then there's no love in that. So put love into it, and it changes every situation.
That's right.
It becomes service and not a duty.
Mm-hmm. Or a task and a chore.
Exactly. Right.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for all of our learnings this morning on humility. Could you close our session with a prayer?
Sure. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Father, you've sent us your Son, who is the servant in humility for all of us. We ask you to bless our week with a sense of humility, with the virtue of humility, so that through our service, our selfless service of one another, we may come to a better exercise of that humility in our life. And in our humility, which is your gift, may we find your life in us, the gift and life of your Spirit. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Well, thank you, Bishop, and thank you for joining us on this Sunday morning. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.